Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now today we are continuing our conversation about traveling with friends. And it's all part of a series about the benefits and the value that we can gain by taking a trip with our friends. Now, this is part two of the series, and we have been talking about manners and when you're traveling, those good manners that you should have with your travel mates, which is a really good thing that, I mean, you definitely want to do that. You want to have those manners in place because you are traveling with other people. And of course, this series now is part of a project that I'm doing, a promotion I'm doing with Holland America and Oprah Magazine. And it's all about traveling with friends. And I do a lot of that. And I've had to kind of watch my manners as well. And I must say, I haven't had too many kind of hiccups with this. I think I've been lucky. But I don't know if that's true for everyone. So there can be some disputes and some conflict if we don't watch our manners when traveling with others. So I decided I'd bring in an expert on this. And that is Dr. Melanie Gallo. She is a professional leadership coach and an organizational consultant. And her primary focus is all about doing things just like this, helping people uncover barriers to their development and their ability to communicate. So, Dr. Gallo, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. So, as I mentioned, we've been talking about these manners, and as you know, we can start off with those good manners, but then some things can come into play. But I really would love to just start with kind of a little bit of a background about group conflict. What is that, to make sure we all kind of understand the dynamics of it and why it might pop up?
Sure. Well, obviously everyone's heard of conflict, but a lot of people probably don't realize that there are different types. And some conflict is actually good. It's productive.
Mm.
Conflict, relating to a task or the process of how we do a task, those types of things in groups are productive. But it's when you get to the relationship conflict, interpersonal disagreements that don't have anything to do with the task, those are probably the types of conflict we hear more about and see more about on TV. But those are the ones that can cause distraction. They can inhibit our productivity. And when we're on trips, they can kind of make the trip go south.
yeah, definitely kind of go in the wrong direction. But now I like what you're saying, though, about task conflict, which could be very productive. So as part of maybe even planning the trip, there might be a little bit of conflict about what to do, you know, what time to kind of get things going, things like that. But you're saying that's productive conflict there.
That's definitely productive because that gives people an opportunity. I mean, of course, we're not all going to agree on everything all of the time. So those types of disagreements about the location or the budget or, you know, who's going to drive when, those open up an opportunity for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of lay things out before you get into all the excitement of the trip itself, and kind of, you know, just work through all the details.
And those things are so important because you really do want to get all of that out of the way.
Right.
So that when you get on that vacation or get on that getaway, that you're focusing on the fun part, which is the whole reason why you're going with your friends.
Exactly.
Anyway, is to have
exactly.
some fun. But now, you know, Dr. Gallo, I just kind of feel like sometimes, though, that those emotions, though, are just kind of hard to control. So can you give us a little bit of background on just emotions? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. One thing that, as I said, causes relationship conflict is when our emotions kind of get the best of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know there are good emotions, bad emotions, anger, sadness, happiness. There, you know, there's a wide range. But something that's not talked about as much is that we all have a different level of a need for emotion. It's called the need for affect.
Mm-hmm.
And affect is just our experience of emotion. So, for example, someone who has a high level of need for affect enjoys the feeling of feeling. They have a greater inborn need to approach situations that allow them to experience emotional reactions. So I know when we travel or when we're in offices or in different places, we've heard of people referred to as drama queens.
Yeah.
Well, that's an actual thing. It's not that there's anything wrong with these different, you know, individuals. They just have a greater need to feel that experience that goes along with feeling emotion, whether it's bad or, you know, fear or, you know, whatever. They just enjoy that feeling. On the opposite side, individuals who have a naturally low level of this need for affect, they possess an inborn need to avoid situations that stir up emotions. They feel a little discomfort with feeling, you know, feeling sadness or feeling fear. It's just not a comfortable feeling, and they don't feel like it's productive to feel that way, so they try to avoid it. So that's just something we can keep in mind when we're on our trips with our friends, that I know myself, I'm more of a on the low side of need for affect, so my work even tends to be more preventative and proactive in the way that I approach things, whereas some coaches or counselors or therapists or whomever helps people deal with different issues, they might prefer to resolve issues. They might like that feeling of emotion. So that's just something we can keep in mind when we're traveling together, that we all have a different level of, you know, what we want to feel in terms of emotions. And, you know, it helps to be aware of it so that we can kind of understand what's going on and not say, well, she's just being a drama queen.
Right.
Well, that's probably true, but